All right. Praise the Lord on this July, I think the 28th or 29th, maybe 27th. I don't even know what day it is. Never been so much confused in my life. But good to be saved. Good to be in the house of the Lord.
Yeah.
Thankful for another day. Lord has been gracious and good to me and to all that love Him. Boy, it's hard to complain when God has put His blessing on you, and I find myself complaining anyway. But we want to go to the Lord in prayer. We're going to be teaching tonight out of the book of Job. Start teaching tonight out of the book of Job. We got several people we want to mention in prayer. Some of them I don't have an update on. Some of them I do. Talked to Brother Mark, and he said him and Sister Kay was still having it pretty rough. Want to remember them, Brother Eric. He's found out that his stomach problem can be controlled with medicine, and that's somewhat good. I don't know an update on Sister Joanne, but we want to remember these in prayer. And we got a house bill they're trying to push through right now.
Hi, Mary.
About marriage legality, marriage some kind of act. All it is twisting the law to conform to the ungodliness that's going on in our day.
Yeah, that's right.
Rewriting everything, all of the Constitution laws that have been put in place for a reason. They're trying to find a way around them. And this law here will allow you to have more than one wife, allow you to have a community marriage, allow you to be same-sex married or anything else. Just no restrictions on marriage. I don't know why anybody would even want to get married if they're not going to have a lawful marriage, but that's what this law is about. And they're going to try to push it through. I'm going to say they probably will. But I want to tell everybody, you ought to call your senator. Tell them you're against it. Tell them you don't want it to pass. I did have some phone numbers, but there were so many I realized I couldn't remember them all, and I didn't bring them. But you can look them up. Because I called Mitch McConnell. I know it was a waste of time, and I told his secretary I wanted him to vote against it. Makes a difference when you call. I couldn't get a hold of Ron Paul.
Ron Paul. Yeah, I got his number.
I didn't. It never did ever go to the answering machine or nothing. It just kept ringing. But I tried to call. But we want to pray about these things tonight, and then we'll take a lesson here from the book of Job. Lord, we thank you, Lord, know that you're on the throne.
Yes, thank you.
Lord, that you're in complete control of everything, even though, Lord, it looks bad down here. We know, Lord, that you're going to work it all out. Lord, you've already declared, Lord, how it's going to end up. And we know, Lord, that many are contrary to the will of God. Many are contrary to the Word of God. Lord, they resist, they rebel. They just go any way but your way. And Lord, we pray for them, God, that they would come to themselves. And I pray they'd repent, get right with God. I pray for Brother Mark, Sister Kay tonight. Lord, we just lift them up, put them in your tender care. A way of prayer, help Brother Mark with his back. Help Sister Kay with her health. We pray for Sister Joanne tonight. Lord, also her health in decline. Just pray, Lord, you'd visit her, Lord, tonight. And Lord, help her, Lord, to get the feeling better. I pray for Brother Eric tonight. Lord, may that medicine work for him, Lord. May it help him, Lord, with his stomach issues. Lord, we pray, Lord, Father, for Sister Brenda. Lord, she's not feeling well tonight. Pray for her. I pray, Father God, for this bill. Lord, I pray you would overthrow it. I pray they'd not be able, Lord, to push it through.
Yeah.
Lord, it's not right. We know, Lord, it's a spirit of Antichrist. Lord, trying to institute, Lord, things that are not right in the sight of God. Help, I pray, Lord, this bill not to pass. We just pray, Lord, Father, our schools to get back to teaching children things that they need in life. Not get them confused, Lord, about sexuality and things, Lord, that they're not ready for. I pray for our schools to Lord, the curriculum, Lord, will be, Lord, to teach them things, Lord, like reading, writing, arithmetic, and how to love one another and forgive one another. Lord, things, Lord, that will help them in life. We pray for our schools, pray for our churches, God, that they'd be more aware of things that's going on. Lord, bless, I pray, in all these things. A lot of unspoken requests, Lord, that we've got tonight. Lord, you know our friend, Lord, we pray for him. Lord, going through sore trials right now that we're not at liberty to speak about, but I pray for him, Lord. I pray for Brother Donnie, Lord, tonight.
Yeah.
Lord, he lost his sister. And Lord, just difficult. We pray for him. Lord, just pray, Lord God, you'd bless tonight.
Yes.
We love you tonight, Lord. We're thankful, Lord, to be in your family. Thankful to be in your house tonight. Give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Sarah slipped in on us while we was praying. Amen. We're teaching out of the book of Job tonight, our sister Sarah. Book of Job, according to what's written over the top, it said this event covered a period of about a year. So what we're going to be reading about lasted for about a year, according to what's written over the top. Talks about, you know, seven parts that Job endured, and he did endure. And we'll start out there in verse number 1. Said there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. That ought to be the goal to everybody.
Yes.
To you know, God deserves us to live right. The world needs us to live right. When I was lost, I have to admit I was looking for an excuse to continue the way I was, not a reason to change the way I was living. But the Bible tells us to live righteous, godly, and sober in this present world, that we might stand out amidst this crooked and perverse generation we're living in.
Yeah.
The world seems like it's hell-bent. And the mercy of God is just still extended, still available. And here Job is. He was perfect. That's God saying this about Job. This is not Job saying this about God. Said that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. As I watch the news, and I probably watch it too much, I see a lot of people that are opposite of what I'm reading about here in the book of Job here. They don't fear God.
Right.
And I'm watching them run over people, rob people. I'm watching them shoot people, stab people. I'm just wondering one day when they stand before God how they're going to answer for all of that. God, the Bible says in the latter part of Ecclesiastes, God's going to bring every work in the judgment, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And right now that don't seem that important, but when it comes time to stand before God, it'll be a little bit more relevant. It goes on to say about Job here, there were born unto him seven sons and three daughters. Job had a family. Job had the fear of God.
Mm-hmm.
And Job had the blessing of God. Look at verse 3. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. Now, when I think about a man that's got this much wealth, this much equity, you know, he really doesn't need anything. But his value wasn't on what he had. His value was on the one that gave it to him. And these seven sons and these three daughters to him was probably more precious than all of his substance. And God had given all that he had Verse 4 says, and his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their three sisters to eat and drink with them. They were celebrating, I guess, their birthday. According to that, it says each one his day. So I guess they went and celebrated their birthday. And children, they're not perfect. Or at least mine never was. I guess everybody's just like mine. But boy, they're precious. You can learn a lot from them. And one thing you can learn to do is you can learn to love them just like they are. And love them no matter what. But children, they're precious. And here Job, he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day. I think it's referring to his birthday. And sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. So they had a little bit of family harmony there. It wasn't all the boys. It was the 7 sons and the 3 daughters together. Verse 5 says, and it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them. What a father. Rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Mm-hmm. Now Job here is the model father. He's not saying that his sons have sinned. He's not saying that his sons have cursed God in their hearts. He said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in his heart. And Job is offering offerings for them and making prayers for them and lifting them up to God. In this effort here, it said Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning. I rise up early in the morning.
Yeah.
And I have to admit, my son, I pray for him to quit smoking. I pray for him to quit drinking. I pray for him to quit cussing. And I pray for him to get in church. Yeah. That's kind of what Job's doing right here.
Right.
He rises up early in the morning and he's praying for his sons.
Yes.
And it says, thus did Job continually. And I think that's something we need to maintain as a prayer life. Brother Ed was telling me he had a prayer that he's been praying. And we ought to all have a long list of things to pray about.
Yeah.
But on that list, we need to pray for our children. I know for a fact somebody prayed for me. I still remember Mama, back when I was about 10 years old, a little towhead of a boy. We'd go back there in the bedroom, and we'd kneel down there by the bedside. Mama kneeled down beside me. Of course, we just prayed a little childlike faith, a little childlike prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Now, how'd you remember it, Brother Eddie? Well, we did that every night.
Mm-hmm.
Then we'd pray, God bless Mama May and Papa Ed. God bless Aunt June, Uncle Keith. We'd go down the roll call. But you know that Mama come back there and, did you pray? No. Well, come on, let's pray. She was faithful to instill in my heart the need for prayer. And that may be the reason I'm still here today. I don't know. You never know about
That's
prayer.
Right.
We often see people pray and may not see the results of prayer. But Job here, he sent and sanctified his children, rising up early in the morning, offering burnt offerings according to the number of them all. Job had 10 children. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continue. I like that verse. Now verse 6, this unusual verse. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. That's strange. That verse is. The sons of God, let's see what it says here. This scene is in heaven. What it says about this verse, this is a heavenly scene, and Satan here is among these sons of God. I think this may be a reference to angels. I don't know. Some of this stuff's over my head. But they came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them. That's a strange place for the devil to be. But I'm convinced that he's more places than we'll ever give him credit for. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" I don't know about y'all, but I've been driving down the road before and felt the presence of the devil.
Oh, yeah.
And he slips in, yeah. Sit there at the house, you know, and the devil try to, I don't know, it just seemed like he tries to invade your mind and interrupt your thoughts and everything else. But it said, "Then the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou?" Now the Lord is asking the devil a question. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it." Reminds me of a vulture. Amen. Looking for something to eat. But the devil, he's never any place very long. He said, "From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it." I think he's constantly looking for victims, constantly looking for opportunities. Verse 8 here, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth?" Would to God that God could say all of this about us.
Yeah.
"A perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and skeweth evil." That's the second time that that's mentioned about Job. Job 1 and Job 8 here both have high admirations for this man Job. And then the devil, and this is the way the devil works, verse 9, "Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doeth Job fear God for naught?" You see, the devil, he's the accuser of the brethren. And he accuses us before God day and night. And he's making an accusation right here against Job right now. He said, "You think Job fears you for nothing?" He said, "You know, Job, he's got it made. You've blessed everything he's got. He don't have no need of nothing. Why shouldn't he love you?" And, you know, like I said, remember, the devil's a liar and the father of it.
Right.
Verse 10, "Hast thou not made a hedge?" And thank God for the hedge. I'm glad God puts a hedge. I'm always praying that the Lord will keep a hedge around my two granddaughters, my family.
That's right.
That hedge of protection. I can't really elaborate on what I'd like to elaborate on, but I'm glad the Lord makes a difference. Amen.
Yes, He does.
Boy, it sure is good to live for God, good to live before the Lord and love the Lord. And the devil picked up on that. The devil said, "Hast thou not made a hedge about him?" You know, the devil knew that Job was being protected.
Yeah.
"And about his house and about all that he hath on every side. Thou hast blessed the work of his hands." I want that blessing.
Yes.
I want that protection. "And his substance is increased in the land." I want that too. You know, I read my obituary one of these days, and I don't know what it'll say, but I know one thing it'll say, that praise God, he had enough sense to get saved. And praise God for a place called heaven.
Yeah.
But down here we need a hedge of protection.
Yes, we do.
Not just a hedge of protection like from people breaking in and people maybe trying to hurt us, but even, you know, a physical protection. I think about COVID. I think about all this stuff, monkeypox and stuff going around right now. Thank God for the hedge, amen.
That's right.
I'm glad the Lord, when Israel was in Egypt, all the plagues that came upon Egypt,
yeah,
none of them came upon the people of God. That's what I'm talking about. that hedge of protection. It destroyed Egypt, and even though Israel was in Egypt, they got none of the judgment that God brought upon Egypt. Mm-mm. Thank God for that hedge of protection.
Yes.
Verse 11, I want you to know the devil's provoking the Lord here. First of all, the Lord, the devil's accusing the Lord of protecting Job, and said that's the reason, you know, that he lives for you. You've given him everything pertaining to this life. Why wouldn't he live for you? And, you know, the devil's kind of putting a finger. You know, you're protecting him. You're blessing. You're causing everything he's got to get gain. Verse 11, the devil says, but put forth thy hand now. Now, I don't know if you got what I just read or not.
Yes.
But the devil's asking God to do something to Job.
Yeah.
Put forth thy hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. Even though that's not true, the devil, he kind of the instigator here.
Yeah.
He's kind of putting Job in his position. Verse 12 says, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Boy, don't take the devil long, cause trouble. The devil accomplished what he wanted to do.
That's right.
When you look up there in verse 6, it's an unusual place for the devil to be. But now here you got him leaving down here in verse 12. But he got a lot done there in six verses there. It says, there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their elder brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. You notice God allowed one to escape. God allowed one to be able to tell Job what has happened. Even though the devil wanted to destroy all that he had, one escaped. And says verse 16, while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burnt up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. This message of destruction, you know, I think, you know, maybe the devil is trying to bring Job away from God, trying to bring Job down. But also the mercy of God is in this, because someone brought a report back to Job about what's going on. And I think today we probably do well to pay attention to what's going on even today.
Yeah.
Verse 17, while he was yet speaking, you notice how quick these are coming. Verse 10, well, verse 14, the messenger came. And then verse 16, while he's yet speaking. Verse 17, while he was yet speaking. Verse 18, while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their elder brother's house. Behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. These are just rapid, one right after another, terrible news. And it says, then Job arose. Now Job hadn't rose up till now. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return hither.
Yeah.
The Lord gave, and the Lord have taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
And this last verse is really important. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Now, I'm going to stop just a minute right there. All of us would have probably said, Lord, why?
Yeah.
What have I done?
Yeah.
Why is this happening to me? But Job just accepted it, and he accepted it as being the providential will of God. When he says, the Lord gave, and the Lord have taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord. He realized the only thing he had in this life, God gave him everything he had. Paul talked about, we come in this world with nothing. It's certain we'll take nothing away. But we're all of the mind that we want to get all we can get, keep all we can keep, and somehow take it with us, I guess. But Job here, his greatest possession, he hadn't lost. That's important. Because when you get to the end of this book of Job, he gets all what he lost back and then some.
Yeah.
A lot of people, Brother Ed, going through a lot of things right now.
Yes,
they are. A lot of trouble. A lot of tribulation.
Yes, Lord.
And if you're not careful, it'll get the best of you. I can't hold on to anything. I actually can't do much of nothing. But the Lord can do all things. And it's His to give to whoever He wants to give. And He's the one, you know, that's a very present help in time of trouble. He's the one that said, Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And Job, his greatest possession, he still had. And it said, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. This is a terrible thing that happened to Job.
Yeah.
And something like this may happen to you. I do want to say this. Back when our youngest daughter got killed in a car wreck, May the 30th, 1995, I, like every father, was grieving, being bereaved of my youngest daughter. But I grew great strength reading the book of Job, how that he was able to bury 10 children and not only still praise God, not only still go on, but you know, he strengthened me. I only had one that I had to bury, and I drew a lot of strength from this book of Job. That's one thing about the Bible. I don't know if I can find this scripture, but I'll try to find it.
While you're looking for that scripture,
all right.
I was telling Sarah, right after she started coming to church here, you know, my wife and my children were saved a long time before I ever got saved. And after I got saved, I came in one Sunday afternoon from church, and I had my Bible in my hand. I just went on back to my bedroom back there. And I was laying across the bed reading my Bible, and I was reading the book of Job. And when I got to the part there where God put a hedge around Job, you know what I did? I laid my Bible down, I got off my bed, got out on my knees, and I begged God to put a hedge around my home, my children, and me. As long as I did what He wanted me to do, for Him to keep that hedge around me.
Amen, brother.
And around my family. And you know what? He kept His promise, and I have tried to keep mine.
Amen.
And I told, that's what I told Sarah about her children. She's raising them.
Yeah, bless her heart.
Doing
a good job, dude.
Watch over them. Take care of them for them.
Yeah.
You can't be there. He's there.
He is.
Amen.
He's always there, you know.
Thank God.
And, yeah.
Amen. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. I'm just going to read part of this verse.
Yeah,
well, I'll go ahead and read the whole verse. For whatsoever things were written aforetime, like the book of Job, were written for our learning.
Yeah.
That we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. You see, there's a devil down here determined to overthrow your faith.
Mm-hmm.
Determined to get you to curse God. Determined to get you to turn away from God.
Mm-hmm.
Go back to the world. And that battle is never going to end. That's why we need to put the armor on, amen. But down there in verse 13 of Romans chapter 15 says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost."
Yeah.
You know, we need hope.
Yes, we do.
Don't want to be without hope. Amen. But here Job has been through this terrible ordeal. And there are people going through terrible ordeals even right now. We don't have knowledge of it. Mm-hmm. But we know enough to know there are people suffering right now. Little children suffering right now.
Yeah.
Just want to know, why are we going through what we're going through? There's a devil down here. There's sin down here. And I'll tell you, it's tough. Thank God for the hedge. Thank God for the mercy. Thank God for the providential blessings of God. And if that wasn't enough, chapter number 2 is almost like chapter number 1. It says, "Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, From which comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it.
Yeah.
And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect," it's the third time that God has said this about Job, "a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God, and skeweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity." Now notice this. "Although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause." You remember over in chapter 1 right here that the devil told the Lord, "Put forth thy hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." Verse 11, did you notice here in verse 2 that God is talking to Satan, and he said, "Almost you moved me against him to destroy him without cause." Don't underestimate the devil, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
He's quite a manipulator and probably profound at the things that he's able to do. And here's the next accusation the devil throws up against Job. "And Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin." This is a true statement. "Yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life." There's people today buying pills probably $1,000 a piece or more, just trying to live another day. And I'm glad I don't need no pill. I took one 34 years ago, healed me completely, the gospel. And I'm not worried about giving anything for my life. I gave my heart and life to Jesus.
That's right.
I'm living in Him now, and He's living in me. And right now, I'm not at my home. My home's in heaven, but I'm on my way home, and I will get there.
Yeah.
But the devil here, this accusation is a fleshly accusation. Skin for skin. Yeah, all that a man hath will he give for his life. Jesus even mentioned that. What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his soul?
Yeah.
He said, what would a man give in exchange for his soul? It's about the same thing the devil's throwing up here.
Right.
And again, the devil, he incites that the Lord would come against Job. He says, verse 5, "But put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face." You know, that might be true even with me, even with you. But Job, boy, thank God for Job. I know people suffer. I've had very little suffering. I've seen people with extreme suffering. I've been to the hospital and they were suffering so bad they couldn't even look you in the face. They were just looking at the wall in such excruciating pain, bearing that pain, wanting relief from that pain. And I thank God I haven't been through hardly anything. But here you see The devil here says, touch his bone and his flesh, and he'll curse thee to thy face. You know, that's probably a pretty true statement. There's probably a limit to where somebody might give up. And the devil wants to put them in that predicament.
Uh-huh.
We're tried, we're tested. Peter said, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. You know, I think a lot about what may be on the calendar for me, maybe even for you. I don't like to see people suffer. I don't want to suffer. I would rather see good days. I know the Bible says in the book of Peter, if you want to see good days, keep your mouth shut. I'll read that scripture here because I think it's pertinent.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Yeah, it's pertinent. I think that we need to hear to this.
Yeah.
It says in 1 Peter chapter 3, this is probably a good thing to keep in mind if you do want to see good days. It says, finally, my brethren, verse 8 of 1 Peter chapter 3, be ye all of one mind. Brother Mark was teaching last Wednesday night on the certainty of the King James Bible. And the Bible tells us to have the mind of Christ. And that one mind will, it'll help us, you know, not to be unstable. A double-minded man's unstable in all of his ways. Be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love his brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. We do need to love as brethren, like we're family.
Yeah, sure.
To be pitiful. Everybody don't have it made. I gave somebody a $20 bill yesterday, and I had to wait for them to come to me, and just trying to help them.
Mm-hmm.
They said, can you help me pay my electric bill? He said, I need $20 more. I said, sure, come over here. I met him and gave him that. Be pitiful. Be courteous, polite, talk right. You know, words, they need to be spoken carefully. The Bible says that our speech should be seasoned with grace, power of life and death's in the tongue. Especially with children, always talk to your children in a loving and a caring, compassionate way. They're just little tender plants. They haven't been through what we've been through. They've got to learn. Hopefully they won't learn the hard way like we did. Just kind of shelter them and try to encourage them. Be courteous. Brag on them. Give them every now and then, you know, a compliment. Verse 9, not rendering evil for evil. You know, I'll show him, Bible says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. It says, allow yourselves to be defrauded. I don't understand some of the stuff going on down here. I just know the devil's behind it. But not rendering evil for evil, nor railing for railing. I've seen people just had to get that last word in. I used to be one of them. My wife still is one of them. But, you know, my wife, I love my wife. She is a... She has put up with me. That's a great accomplishment. But she's also encouraged me many times. Mm-hmm. Gave me some of the best wisdom I guess I've ever got down here. Because she knows me better than anybody else does down here. But not railing or railing for railing. Brother Ed, he tells that story about Karen making that macaroni and cheese. And then him eating it with his hand, her dumping it on his head. Not rendering evil for evil, nor railing for railing, but contrarywise, blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. Boy, it'd be great if we could see what was in the wheel before we got to heaven.
Yes, Lord.
It says, for he that will love life and see good days. Remember this verse 10 of 1 Peter chapter 3. If you want to see good days, if you want to have a life that you enjoy living, Let him, pay attention here, refrain his tongue from evil. Just don't go there. I know the world. I know how they talk. I've been around. But don't let it be you. Be different. Have something. My mama used to say, if they ain't got something good, say something about somebody to eat your mouth.
That's right.
Go ahead, brother.
My wife used to tell me.
Yeah.
You know, you made the statement there, if we just knew what was in the will, that we would be better off. And you know, Brother Eddie, I didn't realize what all was in the will until we went through the book of Revelations, didn't we, sir?
Yeah.
We did the whole book of Revelations, and this man taught it so good. You will not believe some of the things that we're going to have to go through when we get to heaven. It's not, you know, people think you just go up there, you're just going to party and have a good time. No, you're going to work just like we work here.
Well, we won't work. We'll rest my labor, but I'll tell you what.
Yeah, okay, you know what I mean. We'll be in church all the time. Yeah. We won't have to say, well, you know, I don't feel good. I'm not going to church today. Because it's going to be continuous church. But one of the things that stuck in my mind was we as Christian people are going to be judges.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
See, yeah. Said we'll judge angels even.
Yes. Yeah. And Brother Eddie, you know, like I told a bunch of them, I said, I'm not worthy to judge anybody. You know, but if God says I'm going to be a judge, I have to be a judge. I don't have a choice. But I'm not worthy. You understand what I'm trying to say?
Oh, yeah.
In my mind and in my heart, I'm not worthy to judge anyone. Only God is capable of judging a person.
Well, one of the first things we'll get will be perfect knowledge, and that'll help.
Yes, it will. Absolutely. We will know everything. Yeah. Well, as soon as we get there.
Yeah.
We was talking about that because there was a couple of chapters in Revelation that I missed. I got to go back and pick it up because I have it on this tablet, and I can go back and pick it up, and I will. But that was one of the things, too. When we get to heaven, whatever we didn't learn down here, we'll know it as soon as we get there. Everything.
Yeah, first thing we're probably saying is, I wish I knew that while I was down there, amen?
Yeah, that's right. Man, do you know how many souls I could have got saved while I was down there if I'd known this? Oh, my goodness.
This verse here says, for he that will love life, if you want to have a good life, if you want to have a healthy life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile.
Yeah.
Man, I'm going to read some more scriptures here in a minute. Let him eschew evil. Mm-hmm. Don't go there.
Nope.
Abstain from it. Do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. The psalmist said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, he said, the Lord will not hear me.
Right.
Now, when I said I want to go somewhere else, I want to read here about James, about this tongue.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, that tongue, it get us in trouble.
Can't tame it.
It says here in James chapter number 3, and these words that I'm talking about, they need to be seasoned with grace. And James brings out a good point here about our tongue. He says in James chapter 3, verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member. You think you could handle it as small as it is.
Mm-hmm.
And boasteth great things. And I have seen tongues do some walking. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. I've seen people get people mad by saying something the wrong way or at the wrong time.
Yeah.
And kind of like, you know, throwing fire on something. I don't know, gas on the fire.
Yeah.
It says, verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, so that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. And that little old tongue can get us in trouble. And we're back over here in Job again. And Like I said, Satan is making an accusation. He's insinuating and provoking the Lord. He says, "Put forth thy hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. I can almost see the devil probably grinning here thinking, "I got it now." And smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. I don't want no sore boils. I'm telling you right now, I'm allergic to pain. And it says about Job here, he took a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Now Job has lost everything he's got.
Yeah.
And if that wasn't enough, now he's lost his health, and he's sitting in ashes, and he's got sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And if that's not enough, look at verse 9. "Then said his wife unto him," and I do believe the devil had a little something to do with this, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." It seems like, you know, people don't want you to succeed. They don't want you to be blessed. They don't want you to praise the Lord. They want you to be like them. And his wife really just raining on him in this terrible time of suffering. She says, "Do you still retain your integrity? Curse God and die." What a statement. "But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive good?" This would be a good verse to keep in mind. "Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" You know, all of us, I want good.
Oh yeah.
I want blessings.
I do too.
But also, I got to realize it ain't always going to be good. It ain't always going to be blessings. Paul talked about learning how to be content in whatever state we're in. Learn to be content. He said, "I know how to abase. I know how to abound." Sometimes we're just holding ground. Other time we're taking in ground. But here he said, "You speak like a foolish woman speaks. Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" And all of this, did not Job sin with his lips? You'll notice that emphasis is on his lips. The words that he spoke. The Bible says, by the words that we speak, we'll give account of in the day of judgment. And Job has got some pretty good discernment right here. This may not make no sense, all that he's went through. It may not make no sense what he's going through right now. But I'll tell you what does make sense. He didn't sin with his lips. You know what I mean? Every now and then you just got to button that lip.
That's right.
And if nothing else, pray and seek the Lord.
Yeah.
What's going on here? But this terrible ordeal that Job's in, not only is the devil sifting him like wheat, not only is his wife coming against him in his time of trouble and in his pain, seemed like she'd be a little bit of a comfort, but she's not. And if that's not enough, verse 11, "Now when Job's three friends," and I don't want no friends like these, "heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came every one from his own place, Eliphaz the Telemite, Bildad the Shuhamite, and Zophar the Hammonite, for they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him." Now, if that stopped right there, that'd be good. The Bible tells us to weep with them that weep. And I like this scripture over.
But didn't they come and accuse him of sinning?
Yeah.
I thought they did.
They started out good. I said I wish it stopped right there, verse 11.
Right there, yeah.
Yeah.
You was right when you said stop right there.
Yeah.
And leave it go at that. But they couldn't.
I'm in the wrong place here. I thought I was going to Jude. It's actually Hebrews what I'm looking for. But in the book of Hebrews chapter 13, here's what it says. It says, "Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. That's a good way to encourage someone that's suffering. And these three friends, they had made an appointment together to come mourn with him and to comfort him. I like that. Yeah. But in a minute here, they get more than comfort. They get critical. Yeah, and they start,
accusing them of sinning, didn't they?
Yeah.
I thought so.
And when they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not, they lifted up their voice and wept, and they rent every one his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. We're going to stop at this verse right here, finishing out Job chapter 2. They're doing the right thing right here. If they just stopped, if they just let it go with this, they never spake a word. Sometimes you don't have to say nothing. You don't have, when you go visit someone that's suffering, unless you've got something that the Lord's put on your heart, you don't have to say anything with words. You can say something with your actions. Me and Brother Ed, we went out there to be with our Sister Brenda's son, Gary. And I must admit, I didn't know what to say. We met a Sarah there. What a blessing that was. She's here even tonight. But sometimes there aren't no words to say. Just being there is a comfort. When someone is mourning, when someone is in a terrible ordeal, when you walk through that door, you don't have to say anything. Just being there is a comfort. It says a lot, just you showing up. And we were there for Brenda. We were there for Gary. Do what we could.
Yeah.
Try to encourage them. Do what we could. I know, these guys here, these three friends, they have done good all the way up to this last verse of Job chapter 2. And we'll read some more in the next Wednesday night if we decide to have it. We were actually wondering where we need to continue to have the Wednesday night service, and Sarah shows up, and that made us have enough.
And with what's on here, there's 16 total.
Amen.
Yeah.
You can learn a lot just from studying the Bible. You can learn a lot just reading the Bible, applying it to your own life. Jesus told us in John chapter 8, He said, if you be my disciples, continue ye in my word, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And there's not much truth today. We've got fake news. We got people lying through both sides of their mouth.
Yeah.
And that just tells me there's a lot of devil down here right now. And he's doing a lot of things wrong right now. But the church, even in the condition it's in, it's still got light in it. And so far the darkness hadn't took over. It wants to. And we are in the way. And praise God, we are going to get out of the way. The Lord's going to come get us, and then they can have it. The Bible says, let me see if I can find this, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doeth already work, and that's what's going on right now. I've never seen so much sin. Just seem like we can't blush no more. Just sin being promoted in every kind of capacity that you could promote sin is just been going on today. The mystery of iniquity doeth already work. Only he who now letteth will let till he be taken out of the way. We're going to be taken out of the way. I can't stop this promotion of sin. I know I'm in the way. I'm glad I'm in the way. But one day I'll be out of the way. And then, verse 8 said, and then shall that wicked be revealed. It can't be revealed right now because he's darkness and I'm light.
Yeah,
if I ain't doing nothing else, at least I'm keeping him in the distance.
That's
amen.
Right.
And when we're gone, Brother Ed, that devil's going to come out. And
Boy,
he's a silver-tongued devil anyway.
Yeah.
And he's going to deceive the whole world, not part of them, all of them.
That's right.
And praise God, I'm glad that we got saved. And God's going to judge this world. And He's going to turn the devil. Verse 9 says, even him who's come is after working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. We didn't see what Satan done to Job. Just imagine what he's going to do to this world when the church is gone. I thank God for the church. Even this little church. The Bible said the Lord loved the church, gave Himself for it, purchased it with His own blood. We didn't sing any songs tonight, but let me see if I can find one. Maybe we can finish out with a song. We'll just sing just a little bit of number 263. And I hope I can. I can't sing a lick, but I hope I can make it through this. Number 263, it's called The Haven of Rest. And we don't have a piano player, and I'm not a song leader. But number 263, we'll do like my pastor said, sing by the letter, rear back and let her go. You ready, Sarah?
Pastor.
Yeah.
I just want to thank you so much for your prayers and everything. Ronnie's doing better now.
Wonderful.
I just pray that you pray for us to keep healing him. And for... I have another special request for a friend, Scott Blayton.
Scott Blayton?
And his family, yes. And we prayed for him before, but he's just still...
I was going to say, I think I got him on my prayer list at home.
And also, I have a friend, her son is having brain surgery right now. He's having a tumor removed.
Wow.
And if I just ask you to pray tonight for him, too.
We'll go real quickly, Lord. Prayer.
I'm just so thankful because God is so faithful to answer prayer, and He's He just has your protection around us and sure does.
Amen.
Take care of us.
Amen to that. We'll go to the Lord real quick in prayer here. Lord, we pray. Lord, you continue blessing upon Ronnie Lindsay, Lord. We pray for Brother Patrick's mother also. We pray, Lord Father, for Scott Blayton. Pray, Lord Father, for Sister Sarah's friend, her son's having brain surgery. Lord, these matters, Lord, are too big for us, but not too big for you. Things are impossible. Men are possible with you. Pray, dear Father God, you would help them, help Mark and Kay, help Sister Joanne. Lord, help Brother Eric. We pray for Rita. Pray for Brenda. Lord, we just want to pray, Lord Father. Many unspoken requests, many needs. Help this country, Lord, to recover itself from the snare of Satan. Help it, Lord, to get out of the darkness. Help it to desire the right things. It just seems like, Lord, the appetite of this great country has changed. And I pray for America. I pray for its leaders. I pray, Lord God, that it return to God and repent of the wickedness that it's, Lord, promoting. And, Lord, we just ask your blessings and all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to try to sing a little bit of this Haven of Rest, number 263. My soul inside exile was out on life's sea, so burdened with sin and distress, till I heard a sweet voice saying, make me your choice. And I entered the haven of rest. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep. In Jesus I'm safe evermore.
Thank you, God.
Amen. That's a pretty good song. Amen. Well, we'll stop right there. Brother Ed, you could dismiss this word of prayer.
Our Father in heaven, Lord, has come up for you again this afternoon. God, we're so thankful
for
your blessings in life.
Thankful.
We thank you, God, for those that showed up here tonight, Father. We thank you for those that showed up online tonight, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
God, we love you and thank you for everything you do in our life.
Yes.
We ask, God, that You'll just bless and help me, Father. You know I'm going
bless,
blind.
Bless,
you know
bless my
I'm
brother.
Going to, God,
Lord, help him, Lord, that eyesight.
You know it,
Lord, you're the one that formed the
Father,
eye.
Father, I ask God
yes.
to take me out of here.
Help him, Lord. Bless him.
God, I love you. Thank you for many blessings.
Yes, Lord.
My sins and my shortcomings.
Bless you, Brother Ed. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God bless. Amen. Hallelujah. I come over here. I eat this.